many years from now, will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl, and welcome to What Should You Expect at Your Age? I decided to put together this program as an experiment to see whether radio could be an effective way to present important and practical information about geriatric health, and maybe even help a few listeners. Features will include discussion of key medical issues of aging, how medications can be used, misused, and abused, the importance of treating disease and dis-ease, the subtlety and destructiveness of ageism, prejudice toward older people, the meaning of sudden or chronic health changes, the cardinal goals of maximizing quality of life and functional ability, the significance of maintaining hope, there is always something that can help, and what older adults and caregivers should expect with aging. I would like to start with a short story I often tell to my patients. A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. "Think about it often. I do. It reminds me there is always something that can be done to help, even in extreme old age." I have put together a list of what I feel people should expect as they age. You should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected. You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse. You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression. You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of, except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom. I would now like to play excerpts from the guest interviews last week. We first heard from Miss Dorothy Eshelman, a talented 96-year-old who played for us her bells and piano. Next, I spoke with baseball dad Rob, which led into the broader issue of advanced directives and designating a healthcare proxy. Finally, Dr. Saul Elkin, a UB distinguished professor in the School of Theater and a popular mainstay of the Buffalo theater scene, read several interesting passages for us. Beethoven would have been proud of you. How about happy birthday to you? Feet over your head, it would be hard for anyone to reach them. You do a great job. Thank you.
been a better choice. Baseball's my favorite. You must have read my mind. That's terrific. Well, maybe next time we'll catch her playing some piano. How's that sound?
Okay.
This has been Miss Dorothy Eshelman, my friend, my patient, and a wonderful musician.
Now, I didn't want to ask, but you wanted to tell me how old you were.
I am 96. I will be 97 in 2 months.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
I shall try.
At a recent windy day at the baseball field, I spoke to a fellow dad about whether he had thought about advanced directives.
Well, what would you want if you couldn't recognize anyone and, let's say, had a stroke and you couldn't eat for yourself? What would you want?
Pull the plug.
Pull the plug?
Pull the plug.
Okay. Do you have a healthcare proxy in place?
No, I don't.
Are you,
I'll do that Monday.
That? Okay.
I'll do that
That's
Monday.
That's a good idea. Because as you know, or as you may or may not know, New York State requires us doctors to look to people that don't have their wishes right now. Or if there's someone that can attest to you that that's exactly what you would want. So if you want, I'll get you a copy of that healthcare proxy form. I'll be happy to send it to you.
That'd be great. Fax it too, because I remember where my fax machine is.
All right. Good talking to you. Have a good day.
My discussion with fellow baseball dad, Rob, brought up important questions about advanced directives. What you would want regarding your health if you were no longer able to make decisions for yourself. The most important of these is having a healthcare proxy in place. A healthcare proxy is that person you choose to make decisions for you if you are no longer able to make them for yourself. Usually, this is a spouse, a trusted son or daughter, or a close friend. The person acting as your healthcare proxy needs to remember that it is not what they would do under a specific circumstance, but it is their knowledge of what you would have wanted under the current health situation. A simple power of attorney usually relates to financial matters alone. A healthcare power of attorney is similar to having a designated healthcare proxy. There is a simple form that can be completed in which you designate who you wish to act on your behalf and also allows you to include specific instructions as to what you would want under different health circumstances. For example, if your heart suddenly stopped, would you want to have CPR? Or if you couldn't breathe for yourself, would you want to be put on a ventilator? Another common decision people make ahead of time is whether or not they would ever want to have a feeding tube if they were no longer able to eat for themselves. I am very pleased to present esteemed local actor Mr. Saul Elkin with Shakespeare's The Seven Ages of Man.
So The Seven Ages of Man, from As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man at his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms, and then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face creeping like snail unwillingly to school, and then the lover sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow, then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice in fair round belly with good cape unlined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful speech. Yeah,
thank you.
It comes also at an interesting moment in a romantic comedy, with some men sitting around a fire in a forest somewhere, and Jaques, who speaks it, I think it's just something Shakespeare wanted to say because it doesn't, it's not necessarily relevant to the play. It's a little sidebar to the play. It was just Shakespeare talking to his audience about this subject of aging, our lives, and how our lives change as we go through.
I think everyone thinks about what's past and what's to come.
Absolutely.
And, it's interesting that it was a sidebar, it seems, to the...
Yeah, it's not a play about old age. It's not even so much a play about the character who speaks this speech. And Shakespeare's plays are full of moments like this, where suddenly a character will sort of step out of the action to say something, probably, that the playwright wanted to say.
This thought process of his own must have affected him profoundly.
Yeah.
And he felt obligated to say it.
I guess
now,
so.
What do you think about how he characterizes the sixth and seventh stages compared to older people today?
Well, I think he does describe a sort of physical condition that does, you know, into which people evolve, some people evolve. Although, you know, we see older people who are robust and active, and I'm sure you do in your practice as well.
Certainly.
For a long time. I lived in Vermont for a while before I moved to Buffalo and had a 90-year-old neighbor, a woman who lived alone and mowed her lawn and shopped and drove a car. That's rare, I guess.
Well, not that rare.
Yeah.
It's more and more common. I think modern medicine certainly has had a lot to do with it, and prevention.
Right.
Antibiotics, that's been the main key to prolonging life. But Shakespeare mentioning without teeth.
Yeah.
We have modern dentistry.
Absolutely.
We have dentures have lost their teeth.
Yeah. Actually, I think this whole issue of prevention, we catch things early. I mean, I'm a survivor of prostate cancer because it was caught early. It's been 5 years and I'm fine. And because we're so good at prevention now, for people who sort of take care and watch and get the physical exams and so on, but who also listen to their own and watch their own symptoms.
Well, that's key. Watching yourself, especially changes, any change that you notice from one day to the next, perhaps how you're different now compared to a month ago.
Yeah.
Or even a year ago, and how your family perceives the change.
Sure.
A change over a long-term basis could be Alzheimer's disease developing, but it could be a metabolic, reversible medical problem that could be treated.
Yeah. My experience with my mother, who died when she was in her late 80s, and now with my mother-in-law, who's 90 and living with me, is that people at a certain age are aware of their own physical process. They sense the changes and respond to them. We don't let things slip by as much as perhaps people did ages ago. And modern medicine has done wonders, I think, to prolong life. People are living longer.
I think long ago there weren't the options that we have, and so people had to take things as they came without any hope for a cure or palliation, making it feel better.
Well, Shakespeare was 53 when he died, and I think that was...
That was old age.
It was old age. That was typical of his time.
At the turn of the century, here in the United States, the average lifespan was in the 40s.
Right, right.
And so 53 is old age in the 1600s. Now, I have a few surprises that you can or don't have to read if you don't want to.
All right.
Let's start with this one. It's entitled The Golden Years. It's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks. No sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years. Ooh, what a blast.
And that's great. A heck of a lot better than I could have done, I'll tell you that.
Well,
that's
that was fun.
That's for all time. and that'll go on the show.
Oh, right.
And on the web, and who knows, that might be your ticket to world fame, if you're not world famous already.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is my last surprise reading.
Okay.
And if you like these, I'll find more for you, and we'll get together some other
Sure, absolutely.
Now, this is a news flash, so you have to read it as a news flash.
Okay. Seniors are the nation's leading carriers of AIDS. Hearing aids, Band-Aids, Rolaids, walking aids, medical aids, government aids, and most of all, monetary aids to their kids.
Dr. Elkin then asked me a question.
So, because so much of your life is taken up with dealing with old age and death, I suppose, what are your anxieties? Do you have anxiety?
Well, let me tell you, I'm hopeful in this sense that any of my patients that I've asked, are you afraid of dying? They've all said no. Just the fact that they say no in a truthful manner means to me that the fear of aging is a fear of youthful people.
Yeah.
And that as you get older, that fear dissipates.
I think that's true. I mean, I'm experiencing that. I mean, and I had, you know, the childish terrors that everybody has, and I have four children, and I've seen them experience these sort of nightmares and terrors about death. It does go away. It doesn't go completely away, but it dissipates.
We're going to take a short break now. Be right back.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now. And I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got. For you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Explain when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's hard to ignore it. I know that I have
received the following call last week about the drug Coumadin.
Hello, Dr. Stahl?
Yes.
I would like some information pertaining to medication. If people are on Coumadin, what causes the welts that come on them and bloody noses?
That's a very important question, and it's a very common thing for someone to be on Coumadin, which is the brand name for the drug Warfarin, W-A-R-F-A-R-I-N. That's an anticoagulant drug. It's used mainly in three circumstances. One, atrial fibrillation, when the heart is not beating regular, and also when you have a clot, usually in your leg. In addition, with the advent of many people getting orthopedic surgery, it is often used after orthopedic surgery to prevent clots from developing in a patient's leg. Now, the welts that you described may very easily go along with a side effect, or not even a side effect, the fact of the effect of the drug. If you bump yourself, your blood is less likely to clot immediately, and you might get a little bit of bleeding under your skin, and that resulting in a bruise. I just want to emphasize the importance of the use of Coumadin in someone who has atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation is a fairly common, irregular heartbeat, and there are all too many people, older people predominantly, that are not on Coumadin for atrial fibrillation. There might be contraindications in a particular case, and it's important to talk to your doctor about whether Coumadin or Warfarin, the generic name, is right for you. But the importance of the drug is that it greatly reduces your chance of having a stroke when you have atrial fibrillation.
Thank you very much.
In patients with clots in their legs or having just had hip or knee surgery, Coumadin helps prevent clots from going to the lung, which could be fatal. Coumadin is also used at times after a heart attack or if you have specific heart valve problems. It's critical for all patients on Coumadin to go for the blood tests that your doctor prescribes. The blood test measures whether you are getting the right amount of Coumadin for your condition, and also whether you are getting too much or too little. If you are getting too little, it might not have the protective effect against clots that is desirable, and if you are getting too much, you could be at risk for serious bleeding. You need to notify your physician immediately if you have any new bruising or bleeding. This could be an indication that your dose must be adjusted before any serious bleeding occurs. I spoke with a very sweet 10-year-old girl recently about cranky old people. I'm here with my daughter Lauren at the Original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband and they see other people with their husband and they get mad or they get sad.
So they might be lonely or they might have things on their mind. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, why older people might be cranky?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis. She lives in Florida. And she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff. But she still plays cards, and she does everything for me.
What kind of things do you do with that grandma? And what do you call her?
I call her Bubby. And I play cards with her. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV, and I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there.
Do you talk to her on the phone?
Yes, a lot.
Do you go out to restaurants with her?
Yeah, she takes me a lot to many places.
Like where?
Sometimes, if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there, and I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
What types of food do you enjoy the most?
Chicken wings, french fries, and especially her chicken soup.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas. With this show, I'm starting a new feature on the program entitled Quotations on Aging. A quotation will be read Jeopardy style, and you will be given the opportunity to supply the correct question during the call-in part of the show. Here's the first. This great American said, "Too many elderly people with small incomes skimp on food at a time when their health requires greater quantity, variety, and balance in their diets." Time for another short break.
Down a long dusty driveway, didn't want to go, but I said I had red tears in my eyes of wondering. Daddy took me by the hand out of the school bus and his little man and said, "Don't worry, boy, it'll be alright." 'Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, it's just something you've got to do. So by your eyes I understand what you're going through. 'Cause I took this thing off with my own man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Down a long dusty driveway, set my mind to go. Well, I was 18 and wild and free. Daddy took me by the hand, doubted the world and it has grown mad, and said, "Don't worry, boy, it'll be alright." 'Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, it's just something you've got to do. Your eyes, I understand just what you're going through. 'Cause I took this same off with my own man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Down a long dusty driveway, this time we both would go. Well, he had grown old and gray, was a wonderland. Daddy took me by the hand, said, "I know where we're going, and I understand. Don't worry, boy, it'll be alright. 'Cause I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes. Well, you can't hold back the hands of time, it's just something you've got to do. So by your eyes I understand just what you're going through. 'Cause I took this same walk with my own man, boy, I've been in your shoes. Yes, I took this walk you're walking now, boy, I've been in your shoes."
This is Dr. Rob Stahl live at WHLD 1270 AM. Today is July 12th, 2004. The call-in lines are open, and I'm hoping to get more calls than last week. I don't hear them ringing yet,
So come on, let's get on the phone and give me some calls. The number is 855-6848. 855-6848. I want to apologize to a group of people that helped me put together some interesting comments about embarrassing moments. And I wanted to put this together in a way that would be informative and convey what I wanted to convey. And I wasn't able to do that in time for this show, unfortunately, with my boys headed for Spain on a school trip, my daughter having five softball games over the weekend, and me having a little bit of work to do as a physician. But I hope for that to be done for next week. So this is the hook to get them to listen to both this show and next week's show. Now, I don't hear any phone calls yet, and I'm going to have to start droning on. Like I said, I don't want to just sit here and talk in paragraphs. I want to talk to you. I want to answer your questions. I want to hear what's important to the listeners about getting older, what problems they're having, whether they're getting older. Well, everyone's getting older, but whether they're helping to care for someone who's getting older, whether they're an older person themselves that has issues that they might not feel has been satisfactorily addressed. If I can help point you in the right direction to the many wonderful practitioners out there that are ready to help, I'd love to do that. So let's get some calls going. Let me run something that was on last week's show while we're waiting for some calls to come in. And this is going to be a description of a caregiver's handbook that is available. You can call the station, 855-6848, and request a copy, or mail the station. They probably prefer that you mail the station, WHLD 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York. And what's the zip? 14202. It is a zip. I have a caller. Wonderful. I better put my headphones on. Yes?
Yes. I wonder if you could tell me in layman's terms what the meaning intestinal metaplasia means.
Intestinal metaplasia.
Yes.
Can you tell me why you're asking that question?
Well, yes, I've been diagnosed with that along with Barrett's syndrome.
Okay. Well, you know what I'd like to do with that? Barrett's, you're talking about Barrett's esophagitis. Has it been called that as well?
Well, yes. It's considered a precancerous condition.
That's right. Barrett's esophagitis is something that can develop, and like you said, it's a precancerous condition that occurs in the esophagus, usually at the end of the esophagus where it comes into the stomach. And it's important to diagnose that and to monitor that for the possible development of cancer. Now, intestinal metaplasia, I would want to research that a little bit more before I describe the essence of that. Have you been under treatment?
Yeah.
Coming
along fine.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. I can also, do you have information on the disorder?
Yes, I just was a little confused on what the actual term metaplasia meant.
Well, metaplasia, and plasia, basically it's cells that are starting to change from normal.
I see.
There's hyperplasia of cells, which means hyper meaning overgrowth.
Mm-hmm.
Of cells. There's hypoplasia, like they're in a word hypoplastic is in the same vein, which means undergrowth, and meta means a change of growth.
I see.
There's neoplasia, which generally refers to a tumor which may or may not be cancerous. So these are terms, actually, that developed in looking at cells under the microscope. And you can see that the cells are not normal in a variety of ways. And since I want to keep it in lay people's terms, I'd like to leave it at that. But metaplasia is a change that needs to be watched. It's and it's a transition from a normal cell to a potentially cancerous cell.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, it did. Thank you very much, Dr. Stahl.
You're welcome.
I'm enjoying your program very much.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
Good. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that was very interesting. And what I plan to do with topics that I may not be totally expert on is to follow up certain questions, perhaps by having experts, local experts in the area, either come down to the studio or I will go out and interview them and clarify issues that you might bring to the fore. Or one thing I learned in school, and I consider myself a lifetime learner, and something I've learned very well is that if I don't know something, I'm pretty good at finding out where to get information on it. So I'll readily admit I don't know everything, and instead of giving you misinformation, I might follow up the following week or send you information. So I hope that's going to be okay with everyone. I want to have as many calls as possible in the 20-25 minutes that we have available for call-in. I want to hit topics that are important to a wide range of people. And I have in my studio today Ms. Michelle Kearns, a Buffalo News reporter, and she's rapidly scribbling down on her little spiral notepad that I guess is general issue for reporters. And I have a photographer right now looking me straight in the face with her lens and is about to, she just took the picture here also. And I enjoy having people come down and talking about what the goals of this program are. And the bottom line is I just want to spread the word about issues of geriatric care. It's not rocket scientist care. It's information and principles that everyone can learn. And in fact, there are never going to be enough geriatricians, specialists in elder medicine to go around. And it's going to take patients and their families and friends taking the time and responsibility for themselves to look up issues, to learn a little bit more, to also say to themselves, this isn't the bottom line. I don't feel good, and I can feel better. And how can I go about doing that? One effort that I've been working on is what I call grassroots geriatrics. And this is trying to mobilize people themselves, volunteer organizations like the Lions Club, to assess and do self-assessments of healthcare needs of older people. I brought with me today, for the situation where I might not get the calls flowing as quickly as I hope, a self-assessment booklet that we issued, and we is me in conjunction with the Lions Club of Lancaster in doing a health fair at a senior apartment building in the town of Lancaster. And what we did the health fair a little bit differently. Instead of just having people come on the assigned day to get their blood pressure taken and their various their weight taken and perhaps their blood sugar measured, what we did was send out a comprehensive self-assessment packet. And the idea behind this is that people have time on their hands, and if they don't, they need to take the time to improve their own health. They can't expect the healthcare system alone to do it all for them, and especially this is especially true with geriatric care. So we sent out this comprehensive self-assessment packet, and we asked the people that were to participate in the health fair the week afterwards to fill this out. And I'll go through the types of self-assessments that people can do to be able to hand over to their doctor and for them to learn from the different aspects of geriatric health issues and how they may or may not have problems in those various areas. First was the quality of life assessment. And on last week's show, I talked about the STAHL quality of life assessment tool. And very simply, this was on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible and 10 is great. How would you rate your life right now? To me, this is the bottom line. And if a patient tells me it's a 5, I ask them, how can I help make it a 6? If they say it's a 10, everything's perfect, how can I help make it to be an 11? If it's a minus 3, how do I help them get it to be a 0? Now, this one sheet also has open-ended questions, which I feel are extremely valuable in my practice and extremely valuable for someone to look at and think about. What was your main role or occupation during your life? What is your main health problem? What do you think is causing your main health problem? A patient's perspective and their beliefs on what they think their health problem is and what might be causing it is critical in trying to find a satisfactory approach to helping a patient with it. What is the one thing you do that you enjoy the most? What's the most memorable experience of your life? What are you most proud of? What is the main thing keeping you from enjoying life to the fullest? What are your main fears and worries? What embarrasses you the most? What regrets do you have? What goals do you have at this point in your life? Even if you're 95 years old, even if you're 100, you can still have goals. You should have goals. Is there anything else that bothers you or that you think we should know about in order to best help you? And do you have any specific questions you would like answered at the health fair? So these are very open-ended questions, and it's interesting that often you see the question on what bothers you the most and what you enjoy the most can be and is often answered family. So you can have something that both causes joy and pain, but that's life. But how do you deal with those issues? Should someone be depressed because of various factors that might be able to be modified so that they can be a little bit happier in their day-to-day life? Next in this assessment booklet is a listing of medications, immunizations, alcohol, and cigarette use. And I include alcohol and cigarettes as substances on this page, medications, drugs, if you will. And included in the medication table, an open table for the patients to fill in, are cold remedies, natural remedies, vitamins, and other things that people might take. And we know that a lot of money is being spent day to day on alternative health remedies, health foods, herbal remedies. And this could interact, this could affect a person's health positively or negatively. And I feel a doctor needs to be open-minded to that and has to ask about it. And if you don't ask, it's much less likely that a patient is going to say something about it. Then there's the symptom checklist. And the symptoms range from anxiety, nervousness, to cough, congestion, to the fears and worries, to insomnia, poor sleep, to shortness of breath and wheezing, to tremors and shakiness, to weight gain or loss. And these symptoms, none of these symptoms should be considered a normal part of aging. Any symptom that is checked off as being always, which I qualify as meaning at least daily and often at least weekly, I delve into much more thoroughly and try to find out what exactly is causing those symptoms. Those are not diseases. They're not something to be covered up by a drug unless you've really looked into what might be causing those symptoms. You need to get at the root problem. Otherwise, you can start adding medications, one on top of the other, treating symptoms, the medications themselves causing other symptoms, without getting at the root problem. For example, shakiness can be Parkinson's disease. Shakiness can be what's called a benign essential tremor. Shakiness can be from thyroid disease. You can treat shakiness with a specific medication as a symptom, but you can cause more harm than good if you only look at it as a symptom. And certainly it should not be looked at as a normal part of aging. The balance assessment. This was very important to do, and in the subsequent health fair, we had a therapist evaluate balance. Falls can be disastrous in an older population. So assessing balance and seeing whether you're at risk for having a fall, whether you're taking the appropriate precautions to prevent falls, whether you have a fear of falling that's keeping you from enjoying life. All of these things go along with a balance assessment. And balance, there are things that can be done to improve your balance. Sometimes ear problems, there's an entity called benign positional vertigo, where simple maneuvers, therapy can help relieve the sludge in your inner ear and greatly improve your balance. This is something I recently learned about and started referring my patients to people who are able to address that, and it's really helped several of my patients. A daily function assessment, how do you get on day-to-day, cooking, housework, bathing, dressing. An emotional assessment, checking these things off could indicate that you're depressed, and that's holding you down. A memory checklist, are you having trouble with memory? A hearing checklist, is hearing keeping you from enjoying your life? Is hearing making other people think that you have dementia? I had a patient that came into a nursing home, and I was told that she had not spoken for a year. I examined her, I looked in her ears, and they had probably 50 to 60 years worth of wax in her ears. I took the wax out. I asked her, "How are you, ma'am?" And she said to me, "I'm just fine." When she spoke, it was somewhat of a shock. I called her son, and I asked her son, "Are you sure your mom hasn't talked for a year?" He said, "That's right." I told him, "Well, she just talked to me." And it was because her ears were filled with wax. A vision checklist. Is vision keeping you from enjoying the TV, reading the newspaper, driving safely? A nutrition assessment. In the health fair that we did, a surprising answer came out in all too many of the responses that we got from the people who participated in the health fair. There were a significant number of people who said that they don't always have enough money to buy the food they need. They don't have enough money to buy the food they need. I can understand how some people might have problems getting to the supermarket to get their food. But to not have enough money to buy the food they need to stay well nourished, to stay healthy, that astounded me. I can see other things. They might not have enough money for their medications, but are they spending their money on their medications at the expense of food? And in the United States, in an older population, we have people that don't have enough money to buy food. A urine function assessment to see whether incontinence might be an issue. And incontinence should not be a shameful thing. It's something that should be evaluated, and there are many effective treatments to deal with incontinence. Someone should not be ashamed to even go for an evaluation. These are things that happen, and you need to say to yourself, I shouldn't be embarrassed about this. I want to go and get it checked out and see if I can help make myself a little happier, a little more functional, and less ashamed of who I am and what my problems might be. A home safety checklist. This, it's a very lengthy questionnaire, about 60 items here, but you have to make sure your homes are safe. One chair that's a little bit out from a desk in the middle of the night can be disastrous. Not having night lights, having throw rugs that slip on hardwood floors can be disastrous. Are you afraid of falling? Do you know how to reduce injury in a fall? Many of the people that responded to this had no idea how to fall safely. And there are ways to fall safely. And perhaps I can have someone on the program in the future talk about that. And I'll put information on the website on how you can fall safely, similar to how skiers are taught to fall safely. I'm waiting for the calls, and I'm not getting much right now. So where are all of you out there? I know there's a few older people. In Erie County alone, we have 16% of people that are 65 and over. Nationally, there are approximately 12% that are 65 and over. The Buffalo metropolitan area has approximately 1 million people, so there's 160,000 people out there that are 65 and over. And I'm sure there are issues that you might need some guidance with. And that's what I'm here for. That's the sole reason I'm doing this show. I have more patients than I can handle sometimes. I'm not looking for more patients. I want to help. I want to reach a larger patient population through giving advice and guidance. Something you might be able to take to your own doctor and ask your own doctor, can I pursue an issue that I heard about? That maybe the doctor doesn't have time to go into an in-depth history on. That maybe the doctor hasn't been exposed to in his or her training. Well, let me finish with this self-assessment packet, and you can request one of these packets from me by email, drstall at whatshouldyouexpect.com, or by writing the station, WHLD, 225 Delaware Avenue, 14202. Was that it, Jimmy?
That's right.
Okay. We're coming close to the hour. I had hoped to double the number of callers from last week. The rest of this book, there's a sleep assessment, there's a driving quiz, and there were some very interesting answers to the driving quiz, which was available at the AARP and AAA websites. And then also in here are my seven key principles of geriatric care and the story to remember that I recited at the beginning of the show. Well, how about one more caller? Is there someone out there? I'm waiting. 855-6848. Let's go to... Let's see. What should we do here? Yeah, I'm shuffling my papers again. And let's go to the Caregiver's Handbook Overview. And then we'll go to our... Closing comments, and I guess I'll see you next week. And we'll talk about embarrassing moments. I want you to call in next week about embarrassing moments, how getting older might be embarrassing in many ways for you. And and how embarrassment keeps you from enjoying your life to the fullest. I hope to have a guest with me next week that did an interesting exercise with me with medical students several years ago that opened my eyes to the whole issue of embarrassment and aging. Your suggestions on guests would also be most welcome. Your feedback and comments. The website, again, where the full audio of this program will be available is whatshouldyouexpect.com. It doesn't matter with capitals or little letters, and there's no spaces in there. And why don't we go to the closing comments? It was nice talking with you today. Let's get some callers next week. I really want to hear from you, and I know you're out there. So it's Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? You should expect a lot. And that's what I'm here to help you to understand so that you can go out there and get a new lease on your life and improve your next day. So long for now.
Requests for information and your questions, comments, or suggestions may be sent to What Should You Expect at Your Age, care of WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202. You may also email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. That's Dr. Stahl at whatshouldyouexpect.com. Please write the station or email me if you would like copies of the official New York State Healthcare Proxy Form or a wallet card of the 9 expectations I discussed earlier in the program. I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Elkin, Baseball Dad Rob, and, of course, Miss Eshelman, for being on the program today. Thanks and love to my daughter Lauren as well. Her insights and sensitivity at the tender age of 10 are truly remarkable. Thanks also to the Beatles, Cat Stevens, and Sawyer Brown for composing and performing the wonderful music I played on today's show. And I'd like to thank WHLD 1270 AM for making the airtime affordable and for being so accommodating in getting this show off the ground. I would like to end today's program with a little dinner music. Miss Dorothy Eshelman, 96 years young. I'm Dr. Rob Stahl. See you next week.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? You'll be old. all lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee. Vera, Chuck and Dave. Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form. Mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?